Now, Jethsbersh Ngusi was 5 when she went blind. It was a big shock for her and her family, but even more so for members of her local community in rural Ethiopia, many of whom believed that it was a curse that had caused her sight loss. And that was just the beginning of the story. Jethsbersh Ngusi joins me now. Hello.
Hello.
And you're joining us from Nairobi today.
Yes. No, Abadiako, as we say in Nairobi. Hello.
Hello. Now, taking us back to your story, becoming blind was obviously a great shock, but just how much did it affect your early life?
It did definitely affect my life because a child in the community where I come from is expected to support families quite early. So I started my job in the family becoming a shepherd for the sheep and goats we had when I was 3. So turning blind at the age of 5 kind of made me not to go with my lovely sheep and goats to the field to make sure that they get their water, their food on time. So, yeah, it was not easy, and it definitely affected me.
And you mentioned that in one of the things that I was reading that you lost your value to the family. Can you explain that?
Yeah, because a value to the family, especially for a girl born in that community, would mean that she would bring a dowry and she would bring a very strong son-in-law, because early marriage is the practice, and girl, whenever you have a girl, it's like you have an asset who is supposed to bring a dowry for the family and who's supposed to bring a strong son-in-law who can help farming and also in other field works for the family. So the fact that you're blind would mean that you're not qualifying for this kind of opportunities. And in that case, I was considered invaluable and I was considered like a burden for the family.
And did you actually feel that in yourself then?
Well, I really can't figure out. I really can't remember that because I think I was too early. And honestly, I may not be able to give you the honest answer with my level of consciousness and confidence today.
But ironically, this turn of events actually did lead you on a path to better things, didn't it?
Absolutely. For example, becoming blind opened me the chance that I was not needed in that community. I was no longer going to bring the dowry and the son-in-law that they were wishing. So I was allowed to go to the capital, to the urban area. That way I receive education. Because in the rural area, even though they don't have the access for education, but nobody gives the girls away with the expectation that they should bring the dowry back. So blindness got me the chance to get out of that community because I was no more considered valuable. So I got to get educated and I got to be who I am today, internationally famous, an activist and advocating for the rights of others and myself. So it completely changed my life. I was, blindness came as a blessing just right on time. And it was just as if I won a lottery to get out of that community. For your surprise, I'm the only child who's got education from that generation.
It seems,
and thanks to blindness.
it seems amazing to hear you say that because your culture is so different to the Western culture. Did you go to mainstream school then?
Actually, I'm a hybrid. I did my first grade, sixth grade in a special school, because by that time, no blind children were allowed to go to mainstream school. So mainstream schools were not open. Until grade 6, I attended special school run by Catholic nuns who came from UK. So, and then after grade 6, because there was no choice, I didn't go. Well, I wouldn't call it mainstream, rather. It was more of an integrated school that I went to until, during my high school days.
And were there a mixture of children with disabilities then at the school, or were you on your own there?
No, it was only blind people in the special school. But in the integrated school, we had quite so many blind children, as well as some deaf children included. But it was a government school which has around 7,000 students. And maybe I would say there were around 20 disabled children.
Now, you graduated from Addis Ababa University as one of the first 3 female blind law students in Ethiopia. Now, that must have been a tremendous milestone.
Yeah, even once you reach higher education, there are prejudices based on gender. So even though becoming a lawyer was kind of taken for granted for blind men, starting from the 1960s. No blind female students were going to that department because mostly they were kind of considered to fit into the education or sociology. So yeah, we were only the first three ones who joined the faculty, and everybody was sure that we will be dropped out, we will be kicked out from the department. But I'm so happy that all the three of us finished, and one of them is now working as a prosecutor. One of them is working in the House of People's Representative as a legal counselor, and I'm an international disability advocate. So now we have more than 40 blind female students after our generation. So not only we could graduate, but also we could influence quite so many blind girls to join the department, the law school.
Well, tell us about the Ethiopian Center for Disability and Development, because you co-founded that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Given my experience of isolation and also my experience of discrimination in education as well as life, there were a lot of service delivery organizations, including international ones like CBM, Handicap International, and also the local ones like Cheshire and so on and so forth. But the problem is the mainstream development services were not open. So I was always challenged when I went to education. They tell me, no, we only give education for the normal ones. When I went to health, they tell me that, oh, it's for normal people. So I always got a problem. How am I abnormal? And why am I considered abnormal? So with that experiences of discrimination and my ego for inclusion, we decided to co-found the Ethiopian Center for Disability and Development to bridge the gap between disability and development, and that way development people can have the confidence to walk and to talk about disability, and vice versa, disability people have the understanding as well as the skills to talk about development. So this was a kind of initiative that we did in 2005 when I was still in university, and then now it's more than 12 years since the Ethiopian Center for Disability and Development is operating. So it's mainly working on bridging the gap between disability and development in Ethiopia.
So you obviously face some prejudice along the way. Are things changing now for disabled people?
I could say yes. There are changes, but the problem is the changes are not with the pace that we want them to happen, because the train is so fast. Now we have the Sustainable Development Goals, we have the Convention on the Rights of Persons, we have too many tools. I think people are convinced that why we need to be included, why we need to be considered. But I think now we have to show them how. So there is a need for expertise. We disabled persons need to be experts. Now we're done with the argument of why, because now the Sustainable Development Goal is about leave no one behind. So I think we should take the second step, which is responding to how. And this doesn't have a uniform answer. All of us have different needs. All of us have different capabilities. So that's a lot of work.
So there's still much work to do, but changing tack a little, your life, talk about full circle, you have now got married, you've got two lovely children as well, haven't you, two lovely daughters?
Yeah. Now the son-in-law is already in place, so I think my families are happy, even though it's with a bit of a delay because I was supposed to marry when I was 12, and I only got married when I was 28 now, getting educated. And I have now my two girls who I think will be the future of this world and who will be fighting a discrimination of any sort. When you are empowered, then you will reach to where you want and where others want you to reach to. So I'm now educated, and I'm not in problem to get married. I'm not in problem to raise my children. So education is key in doing all these things, and empowerment is key. Once people's disabilities are empowered, once they're equipped with the necessary skills that they need for life, then they can be whatever they want to be. They can be pilots, they can be doctors, they can be mothers, they can be politicians. I think that's the conclusion we can make.
Well, you certainly sound like you are a role model to admire. Yethberge Negusi, we wish you all the best for the future, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much for giving me time for all our NAB listeners.